Hey, welcome to Church Unusual, Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start off at verse 11. And he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we have to break these down and break it down really slow to really understand what's going on. Church has become a community gathering. It has become a place that we come to receive from God. It's become a place that we come to get our blessing or get our miracle or get our problems fixed. When in actuality, it's so much more. Church was a called out one by name, by an origin, the carrier name. It was a symbol that was called out. That's why we see the letters. The letters was something written to the church, and he called everybody together and read the state of what should be going on and how things should be going. Watch this. He's reading out instructions of how things should go. I said this in my last class, living by the book class, and I want to say it in this class, that many times miracles become a bailout to you failing to do the instructions. Many times you need a supernatural healing miracle because you didn't follow instructions with your health. You need a financial miracle because you didn't follow instructions with your budget. You need these things because you didn't follow the instructions that you were supposed to have, right? So a lot of times miracles are just a bailout. Miracles aren't the first thing that God wanted to do. Watch this. I got a question for you. Would God even call it a miracle? If he wasn't talking to you, would he even be saying it's a miracle? No, but he got to say a miracle for you, because that's the only understanding that you have. But now the apostolic, so what is church for? Why do we come together? Why do we gather? Why do we connect with certain men of God, or certain apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers? Why do we connect this way? There are instructions. Verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. In other words, there's instructions that make you mature. And if you're mature, you don't need a bailout anymore. This is what I'm saying. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. In that scripture, I do not see anything about the performing of miracles. I'm not anti-miracle. This is what I'm saying. But I believe that the first thing God will give you are some bona fide, clear, and I actually know he did that because Jesus is the instruction in the flesh. John 1 talks about the word in the flesh. He's the living instruction. I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill it. I want to show you what the law looks like in the flesh. What the law could not do, Romans 8, that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, I took those instructions that you were failing at royally, and I made them an alive person right there in front of you so that you had no more excuses, but you weren't able to be that because you saw it in front of you. When I see, Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. You see the Father's will. You see what the Father is doing. But now in Ephesians, he said, I give some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Watch this. So we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of who? The Son of God. Now, watch this. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, to the knowledge of the Son of God means, it doesn't mean to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Catch what I'm saying. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is that about Jesus? Yeah, it's about him. Is that only about Jesus? No, it's not only about Jesus. Watch this. Because Jesus didn't say, for God so, and Jesus did read the scripture. He didn't say, for God so loved the world that he sent me. And whoever believes in me ain't going to perish but have everlasting life. That's not the way Jesus said it, but it's a simple way to say it if that's what he meant. No, he said his only begotten Son. The Son is a title. The Son is a character. The Son is an identity. He's trying to say, I've sent my only begotten identity. That whosoever believes that this is them shall not perish but have everlasting life. Here we go. Till we till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, you have to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, you have to come to have knowledge like the Son of God, not knowledge like everybody else, not knowledge like the rest of the world, not knowledge like the rest of the system, but knowledge of the Son of God. Your knowledge should be as of one that is a Son of God. Your instructions, your steps, your moves should be as those that are moved as a Son of God. Watch this. And a perfect man, perfect, that's a word perfect again, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many miracles did Jesus need for himself? I'll wait. How many miracles did Jesus need for himself? And the word miracle is only the word that people who don't believe use when they see something extraordinary. When in actuality, it's only a miracle to you because you're thinking in the wrong polarity. You're thinking in the wrong direction. You're still, Matthew chapter 16. You are still, watch this. We are still savoring the things that be of men and not of God. So now because we savor man's idea for instructions, a man's idea on how things go, a man's way of the cultural thing we picked up from our parents or whoever we, the schools or whatever we picked it up, now because we're so accustomed and we're savoring that so much that when something does happen that looks like the will of God and God's will comes, oh, it's a miracle. No, it wasn't a miracle. It's his actual. We're looking for the supernatural, but that's God's natural. The word super literally means, if you use it in science, it really means like something that's super saturated. It really means it's a little bit more put in there than normally would be put in there. But that becomes God natural. So it's actually natural with a little bit more in there. That's God's natural. That's God doing, that's a favor of God doing a little bit more than you can. But you've got to follow the number one instructions. This is why we have apostles, we call government, and prophets, and evangelists, because there are instructions in all that's given that puts you in a place to where not only can the miraculous be done, but the miraculous becomes the normal because it's no longer a miraculous bailout, but it's actually the way that life goes. It's no longer fixing deficiencies, but it's actually living from the level that God has called us to live from. The instructions come. He says, we can go over the scripture over and over again. Who do men say that I am? He says, some say thou Elias, one of the prophets, John the Baptist. He said, but who you say? He said, thou art the Christ, chapter 16, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood is not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which heaven. And I say also unto Peter, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Watch this. Verse 20. And we missed this. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, giving instructions. Don't go talk about this. Don't be going brag to nobody and tell nobody that I'm the Christ, because you're going to mess up my flow. You're going to mess up my instructions. The instructions I got was to come here and be. I didn't come here to announce nothing. I even read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, who anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, so that he'll deliver the brokenhearted, the covered sight of the blind, set the liberty to the bruised, the priest, the sepulchre, you're the Lord. I ain't seen nothing but come here and perform miracles. But I got to do it because there's a deficiency. When in actuality, this is why the miraculous is more immature. Listen, because the miracles are a signification of a, watch this, the miracle is a signification of a deficiency. You only need a miracle when you're deficient. The miracle is not the top of the line. It's actually bringing you up to par. So now we run around looking for miracles, searching for miracles. And the truth of the matter is, if you're really searching for a miracle that much, that shows how deficient you are in your mentality or who you are in Christ. I always like to put myself in the Bible and find out what position I'm standing in. Am I standing in a position of somebody that's already always in need, or am I standing in a position of a Son of God who can meet the needs? Watch this. And that's the difference between most and Jesus. Jesus doesn't stand in needing a miracle. Jesus comes in and saying, I'm raising everybody up from their deficiency to the level that they are. You are a Son of God. But here he gives instructions. Don't charge no man. Need to charge no man. Verse 21. And from that forth, Jesus began to show his disciples. Here we go. Instructions. How? Underline that word, how. It could have said he began to show his disciples that he must go. No, it says how. this instruction, how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. He's giving the instructions on that revelation that Peter said he had. Okay, this is what that looks like in the flesh, right? But because we are so caught up with the instructions of others that now we think that everything is about a miracle, signs should follow you. They shouldn't be what you're going towards. They say these signs shall follow them that believe. If the signs follow me, a sign shouldn't be in front of me. I shouldn't be seeking first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first a miracle. Didn't say that. Seek ye first a sign and a wonder. Didn't say that, but that's what we seem to be doing. No, seek ye first the glory of God. No, he didn't say that. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things and doing them right. And his righteousness, being right standing with him, being a son of God and being one with God. And all these things be added. Gives him instructions. And here we go. Here's us. Peter took him and began to rebuke him by saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So now here he goes and begins to bring stuff against Jesus, like Jesus tripping. And I think he thought he was somebody because he got the answer right a couple scriptures before. Not even knowing he tripping. Let no man think more highly than the other thing, but think soberly. Watch this. The word rebuke, I looked it up earlier, and we think rebuke is, oh, in the name of Jesus, oh, you know. No. The word rebuke, watch this, two parts. The first one was epi, and it's tamale, is a timale at the end of it. It's Greek words. You know, the Bible wasn't written in the original English, so you got to break these words down sometimes. The beginning word meant to bring against or to come against or to bring some force against something, right? And the second part of it, rebuke means, the second part of it means to give something value or to give value to something. Watch this. So that means when Peter rebukes Jesus, he brings what he thinks is valuable against what Jesus is saying. Be it not unto you, Lord. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He thought that what he was saying was more valuable than what Jesus was saying. So he began to bring what he thought as value up against what Jesus was saying the instruction was. And this is why Jesus goes so hard at him. I always wonder, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense to me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. In other words, you have so much of man's idea in your mind that you cannot see that these instructions that I'm telling you about and these instructions that I'm giving you are the original way of God for this moment. So now you think it's something deep. You think it's something hidden. You think it's somewhere else when it's actually right there in front of you. Paul said, I'm concerned that you be deceived. That be beguiled and deceived by the subtlety of the serpent. You be deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's actually nothing hidden from you. But now, because we savor the things that be of men more than we savor the things that be of God, when God's instructions show up, we don't understand them. We think there's some deep thing. We think there's some mystery. And sometimes we even discount them because we're so wrapped up in the culture that we live in. This is why we have apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, true ones, not everyone that names themselves one, but true ones, because they give us instructions. They give us an instruction. If construction is building a building that you can see, then instruction is building something on the inside of me. Catch that rhyme. If construction is building a building that I can see, then instruction, it says it right here in the scripture. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. So we go from construction to instruction. He begins to instruction. This is why the church is on the inside of us, and the church is who we are and not just where we go. You think the church is a construction when the church, or being the church, is actually a living instruction. You better put that down. It's a living instruction. I am, say I am, a living instruction. And so now our apostle, we know we have a true one here, is giving us divine instructions to show us who we are, who Christ is in us, who we are in Christ, and the way that we should be going, not just, watch this, not just by his words, or the written words in books are audible instructions, but you see the instructions in his life. You see the instruction that he's wants step by step what God's will is, and it calls, instruction causes construction. The word con, I took a little bit of Spanish, very, 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 very little bit of Spanish in school. And the word C-O-N meant with. All of them languages mixed together, got them Latin. That meant with. That means if it was structure with. Construction is structure with. So it's not the structure of you, it's the structure that's with you. So now, but my instruction, right, causes construction. So whatever structure on the inside of me is what's going to be structured with me. Why am I laboring heavy laden and got these burdens sometimes and carrying these wrong yokes? It's because my instructure is wrong. And now I need a miracle to remove it off my back. When they really tell me, Jesus said, come unto me, all the labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn to me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, you find rest for your soul. In other words, put the burden down. You don't need a miracle for somebody to remove it. Put it down. Come on, tell somebody, put it down. Thou savest not the things that be of God, but things that be of men. Then he goes on to verse 24. And he says, you remember that other scripture where they were trying to cast a demon out of that boy, and the man said, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out? And Jesus says, you faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to be with y'all? And then it says he rebuked the devil. In other words, now remember now we say rebuke was, he brought value against the devil. He brought the Son of God value against whatever the devil was trying to accomplish. Not only his Son of God value in Jesus as a person, but the Son of God value of the boy that the demon was trying to possess. And it made the demon leave. Then he says this. They said, why we couldn't cast him out? He said, well, this kind only comes out by fasting and praying. Now, what does fasting and praying does? Fasting and praying rids you of the savor the things that be of men consciousness. It rids you from taking your instructions from mankind or society, or telling you go take a shot. Are they telling you go eat this thing? Are they telling you go do this thing with your money? Are they telling you build this thing? You don't take your instructions from them. You savor the things that be of God. Listen to what I'm saying. And he says, fasting and praying. In other words, you're not going to be able to bring value, rebuke, right? You're not going to be able to bring true value against things that shouldn't be there unless you've eradicated yourself of having those things in you at first. John 14 and 30, Jesus says, I'm not going to talk much to y'all right now because the enemy coming, but he ain't got nothing in me. Many times we got so much other instruction and so much of man ways inside of us that we can't bring value against the ways of the enemy, because when we meet the enemy, his ways are in us. We begin matching. We like Sadie Hawkins. We wear the same outfit. This kind only comes out by fasting and praying. That's over. As a matter of fact, let's flip over. That's right over there in Matthew chapter 17, right? Verse 16, he explains to them even before then. Watch this. He says, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. He's draining you of these other ideas. So you got to deny yourself now, because it's draining you of the things you're savoring that be of men. And he said, whosoever saves his life will lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. What profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and they shall reward every man according to his word. Verily I say to you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom, until they see the identity showing up where it should be in the kingdom that belongs to him at first. But it begins with let him deny himself. So there's a lot of times, you know, if you really have a true leader, a true man of God, he's going to challenge you. And it's not going to be comfortable. I've been challenged more than you all. I can put a tally on it. Trust me. The apostle has challenged me to the T. Some of y'all know it. Some of y'all don't know it. It's been a challenge up against the wall, whatever. It's a challenge, right? But he's changing your structure. I appreciate every bit of it. Because he's changing your structure. Because there's a structure that is trying to be built in you through society that wants you to come out as another construction. It wants you to produce another kind of building. It wants you to produce another kind of lifestyle. And so I have to tear that down. It says, the scripture says, there's come a time to tear down and to destroy and to uproot. And then it says, then to plant and to build. This becomes the process. When you come to every creature of word, yes, expect to be torn down and destroyed and uprooted all that craziness that we picked up from society that hasn't been benefiting us at all. And then we begin to be not only planted in, but be planted. And then not only instructed or built in, but then show us how to build. Not only inanimate objects as buildings and whatever you want to call ministries or business or whatever, but also build other people. This becomes the point. So now we understand that it's for strict instructions. And I want to get back over here, Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Then we'll end it. Till we all come into the unity, verse 14, Ephesians 4, verse, till we all come into the unity of faith, this is verse 13, till we all come into the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man to measure the stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, savors the things that be of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. In other words, they say that it works, but it doesn't. It's only benefiting them to keep you under their thumb. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So in other words, speaking the truth in love. In other words, it's not always going to feel good. Jesus made a statement, and I never understood it. It was hard to understand at first because the way he went through it, we have this understanding of certain things because we built it in our minds. We let it build in our minds that somebody has to be happy in order to accept the truth. No, the truth doesn't bring happiness. What? The truth doesn't bring happiness. Jesus says, they persecuted me. They hated me. They're going to hate you. Y'all ready for that? They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. But the last one, it seemed like it didn't go together with it, but I understood it now. He said, but they kept my words. He said, they'll keep your words because they kept my words too. I said, what? I thought they hated you and persecuted you. Just because somebody hating on you and persecuting on you because you done told them some truth, don't trip because that seed is planted. And they're going to have to deal with it. And is it, like, what's your goal? Is your goal to get pat on your back or for somebody to make you feel good like you got a good word? Or is it for the change? Who cares how people feel about you and your truth? Are you in the truth? But speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in the identity of the Father, it doesn't always feel good. They ain't always feel like it's the right. Grow up in him in all things here, from whom the verse 16, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted with every, by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in the identity of God. Amen.